You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
Hey everybody, welcome to another Wicked Horror Show. I'm Kevin, and as always, I'm joined by Wolfie.
Hello, everybody.
Tony has nine fingers. What's that on your face?
This is some of the Wicked Horror Show merch that you pick up at TeePublic.com/user/aknuckle, or just look up Wicked Horror Show on TeePublic. Make it a little easier. Right? Yeah. But this is a face mask, so if you're looking for something new, here you go.
Yeah.
And it's constricting on my face. My face is too fat, so.
Oh, whatever. It is what it is. So today we're welcoming back a guest. We had him on for Mandeo of the Dead. This is going back maybe 2 years ago. And now there's a sequel called Mandeo Returns, which is streaming now on Amazon Prime. We have Scott Dunn. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, thanks for coming back. And you messaged me like a little while back saying that it was up there streaming on Amazon. And I remember enjoying the first one. It's definitely like more of it's almost like a family friendly kind of like horror movie at times, you know?
Didn't feel much like a horror movie though. I mean.
Well, I mean, I would put it in the, remember when you were a kid or when, I don't know how old you were when I was a kid, Wolfie, but when I was younger,
45.
Yeah. There would be like a Disney, like Mr. Boogity or like some of the, the more lighthearted, comedic, scary, but they were still fun. You know, they weren't necessarily a gore, like whatever. So, there's a place for it for sure. But it definitely had that feel. With the first one, and then this is the sequel, and it's weird because I really enjoyed the first one, but it's not very often I enjoy the sequel as much or more, and I actually think I liked the new one a little bit more.
Nice.
So I thought it was a good time. So Wolfie, you checked it out. Tony, you checked it out as well. It's like I said, it's streaming now on Prime. Both of them are streaming now on Prime, and I watched them back to back yesterday just to refresh my mind and everything. And the only thing that it did was it made me confused when I was uploading the trailers. I'm like, is that the trailer for the first one? Or is this but whatever. Because it does flow very well together. And how much time was there between the production of the both, or were they around the same time?
The first one was done in 2018 sometime. I can't remember even and then, we did a Kickstarter in 2019 and we raised $26,509 and then we shot in 2020, the very beginning, and then the pandemic started, and we basically filmed right before all productions were shut down. So it was interesting, very interesting.
So you had all that time to say, okay, we got it all shut, now I just have all this time to weave it together and make a decent story.
It was perfect timing. Yeah, Wolfie. Yeah. I tell you, I went home, and usually I like the first two movies I've had to reshoot stuff. Later on in the edit, I'll find something like, ooh, I'd like to shoot that. Well, this time I had a different mindset. I was like, I hope we have everything we have, but actually this is our third feature film, and I finally shot the right amount of footage. I didn't have to go and reshoot anything. So that was nice. That was really, very fortunate for when the pandemic was here. I wouldn't have been able to reshoot anything anyway. About the horror movie element. Yeah, I guess it's not that I don't care about horror. I love horror very much, but these movies are more about making you kind of cozy, kind of that, like Goosebumps for adults, I guess.
There isn't very much in there that can be taken as, there's like some language here and there that if that wasn't there, this easily could be like a PG movie. And and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it's, there's a place for it. Like, if, you know, we have some guys that have been on the show, like some like guest hosts and stuff like that, that have kids and they're looking for things to show their kids. And even with the little bit of language that's in there, it's not enough where it's going to be like, we can't watch this. I definitely watched worse when I was a kid, for sure.
Me too.
But the thing that I mean, when I watched it, it has that horror comedy aspect where right. it's, this one I think is a little bit more comedy than horror, but I love the mixing of the two. Me and Wolfie go at it, well, when he used to be on, me and him go at it all the time about it, because that's, I like the messing of the genres, but you know, I see where he comes from, but it's one of those things where, you know, it's, I like when you could take, you know, two things and kind of put them together. So at one second, you know, I might be jumping, and then the next I'm laughing at the same time. So,
right.
See, yeah. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I enjoyed the movie dearly. I loved it. It was, came off as definitely more comedy to me than anything, but I was just looking forward to, and I guess that's why I was thinking, with the first one being so lighthearted, I thought you would go like a little bit darker this time, you know, and it's like really, really amp up the suspense and tension. And I didn't really feel that there was a lot of suspense and tension. It was just these guys doing this thing. I ask one thing, if you ever do a third movie.
Okay.
You got to kill Cousin Andy off, man.
Why? I think annoying. He's great. I think he's great. The fact that he's older than you and he calls you uncle is, I think I love that about the first time you were on. I'm like, I don't know why, I just find that hilarious. He's just constantly calling you uncle, and he's obviously older than you. I think he's older than you anyways.
Well, no, Cousin Andy calls him cousin.
Jackson is the one that calls him uncle,
which makes
I didn't find any of the characters annoying, to be honest with you. I think they all have their place.
He's just evil, dude. He's not.
He's evil.
He is. He's the minute that he goes, don't worry about it. I mean, the very first time he goes, don't worry about it, I've got it all figured out, I'm like, you do not trust this guy. And and you shouldn't trust this guy, even if he is related to you.
Yeah, he's a little bit devious, you know. I think we all have, I don't know if we all have, but there's some family members who can be devious at some point. Actually, I want to expand his character and kind of give him that, you know, that 360 where he comes around and is a little less self-centered, a little less schemey, but I love him. Yeah, I love the character.
Before he dies.
I don't agree with you. I don't think there was anything, but I just want to point out that that Gina commented, as they say in Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat or bigger budget. And Gina, is that your wife?
Yes, and the producer of both movies and Fur. She plays Fur as well.
Yeah. And she's awesome. Like I thought all the characters were very, very appropriate still. And I like to, you know, there's a few things that are done in the second one, like the whole switching of roles at one point, which I thought was funny, because it's like,
I love your that.
Take on it. Yeah, I thought it was great. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, the movies are a really good time. Like, they're not like the typical, you know, splatter fest that I'm used to watching. And that's not a bad thing. You know, it's something where, again, like, I think it's easy sit down with a family and, you know, or even people that aren't that much into like anything scary, and they would be able to get through it easily, you know, because it's still fun. At the same time.
You know, I think that the feeling I want is for people to be able to congregate and watch this together and enjoy it, kind of have like a fun, like a sleepover feeling. It's not to make you super scared, obviously.
Right.
I think I actually will do something like that in the future when I feel like it. I just feel like maybe what it is that I feel like people need some sleepover vibes. They need something a little more chill.
Yeah,
I need it. Maybe I need it. That's what it is. And I think that the people who like that are enjoying this movie, I should say.
Well, there's many a times I'll go into like horror movie groups and stuff, and a lot of, you know, parents are asking, they're like, is there a movie that I can sit down and show my, you know, kid and not have worried that they might have nightmares or something? I think this might fall under that category where you can lean them, you know, start walking them into horror, because with the second one, like the second half, got a little bit darker than, you know, the first movie. The second half of it, I'm like, okay, well, that took a, you know, a different turn, because I was laughing in the beginning of the whole plot. And then by the end of it, I'm like, oh, okay, didn't see that one coming and all that. But it definitely had like a little bit of everything in there, because like I said, when it first started, there was one scene that I cracked up at, and then it just, I'm like, okay, that took a little darker turn than I expected it to. But I definitely dug it. And I think, like you said, it could be one that can, you know, everyone could sit around and watch for sure.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen the first one or the new one, do you want to give like a little synopsis about like what the stories are, or without giving too much away? But again, it is streaming right now on Prime. If you have Prime, it's free. So both of them are streaming. So you should go check them out. They are a good time. And I watched them back to back yesterday, and it was an easy time. Like, it was, you know, they're not like 4 hour long movies. No. What are they, like a little over like an hour and like around an hour and a half?
Like an hour and 10.
You know, yeah, teams. Very easy watch and very like fun. The pacing's really good. And one thing too is, like Gina had mentioned, like a bigger budget, they look good. Like, I think they look really good. They actually look like when I was a kid, like I was saying, like you'd see like Disney, like the Halloween kind of movies, like Mr. Boogity and like Wife of Boogity or whatever. And it had that feel to it to me. And actually it also had a little bit of a feel like I could see that being like a series even, you know?
Yeah. And we'll get to that too. I mean, actually we were having a live stream with Film Threat, and we talked about kind of wanting to continue this, you know, in our version of a series, which would be kind of shorter versions of the movies, and maybe one every year for a couple of years or so. It's expensive to make feature films, but I want to answer your question about kind of what these movies are about. It's about a guy named Jay Mandeo who uses astral projection to travel back in time. And it's kind of like, and he's got these quirky group of friends, Jackson, Fur, Cousin Andy. It's kind of like Back to the Future meets Napoleon Dynamite. It's supposed to give you some heartwarming feelings. It's also got a sci-fi vibe to it, very Back to the Future. But also, if you like movies like Poltergeist and movies like Insidious, this is right up your alley. And anyone who astral projects, if you're not too serious to enjoy this, which I find a lot, astral projection people are like, man, you're making a mockery of astral projection. I'm like, how do you know? Like, what you? Yeah. Like, I love it. Astral projection people who have a good sense of humor, watch this movie as well.
Nice. So I actually have the trailer for both. So I actually want to play the first one so people can get a feel for it. And then when that's done, you know, you can maybe talk a little bit about the first one, you know, even though we did before, we can still touch on it. And then we'll go into the sequel. But here is the Mandeo of the Dead trailer again, which is streaming now on Prime. So here we go.
So that kid killed himself in Mavie's garage. I mean, why would he do that?
I need your help. You were astral projecting last night, right?
Yeah.
If you could somehow astral project back in time and stop me from going to Maeve's...
What the?
You can bring me back, man. You ready?
I... Go away.
Holy moly!
It's Uncle Jay, can you hear me?
Hey, Uncle Jay!
What?
Did you call?
Wait, you're his uncle?
People drink blood, Jackson, throughout history. It's not that unusual.
Oh, mate.
Here, take this.
Thanks, man.
That's $10.
Dude, we're cousins.
Yeah, this is a family discount.
I'm not leaving without my money unless you want me to stay. You want me to stay?
How much is that going to cost me?
$61.79.
Yeah.
So that was the trailer for Mandeo of the Dead. And again, it looks like a really fun time, obviously. And it is a good time.
Yeah,
and I know we touched on it probably, you know, 2 years ago. But so it looks like, it was all filmed in like kind of like a small area. And, you know, like how much bigger like, was the production than what it actually looks like? Because again, it looks really good, but it looks like you just had a small group of people working on it. Was there a lot of people behind the scenes, or was it kind of everyone wearing different hats?
For the first one, it was a small crew. We have one director of photography who also lights the scenes, and he does a great job. His name is AJ Young. We have one sound designer who loves up to four actors at a time and also mixes it and does the boom mic. Rakesh Anderson, great stuff. But we like to, especially on the first one cost around $13,000, and we had maybe 2 to 3 locations. Most of them free. Sergio is already asking for Scott Dunn, what is your best horror and what scared you more? I love Poltergeist, Sergio. I love it.
Same. It's like Texas Chainsaw and Poltergeist are like my top. And they're both Toby Hooper, which I'm cool with. So, but yeah, Poltergeist, that's one of the early ones for me that really scared the crap out of me. So
it's still good to this day. I bought it on Amazon.
Totally. Like it's the clown still gets me every time. When I was a kid, the whole pale in the face thing used to, oh my God. And it doesn't even hold up very well now, but it's still like, I'm just like, oof.
It's real. It's a real something he's grabbing onto as opposed to CGI.
It's even though it's not a great puppet, it was at the time.
Yeah. And one more thing for Sergio, what scared me more than that movie? I don't know if that's what your question is, but what scares me more than Poltergeist? Well, two things. The Exorcist is a classic. It still scares me. There's something in the celluloid on that one. But also besides that, I thought Hereditary was quite jarring. I would say jarring as opposed to scary, but very like, whoa, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I loved it. Where were we with Mandeo? You know, it was $13,000, and I don't know. It looks like what it is. You know, I never thought, you know, this is going to look like $1 million, not even $500,000. But what it has is characters that you can hang out with. And I've always thought of my actors who are very talented. I really enjoy working with them. They're very much my special effects because I don't have any, especially on Mandeo Returns. I did the special effects myself. I did the color correction, you know, because of the pandemic, I basically did all post by myself. You know, not counting the help that came around with the composer and the drone operator and the sound designer who took what I designed with sound and turned it into a 5.1 mix. It's been good. I don't know. It's very indie. You guys know what The Guild is on YouTube? It was a web series.
I don't.
Can't say that.
It's too much on the internet.
What?
It's too much on the internet. I can't see everything, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to have to now. I'm going to have to find it. What's The Guild?
Well, The Guild is about these gamers, this group of gamers who become friends. And I was really touched by that a long time ago. It has nothing to do with horror. Felicia Day. She made that show back in the beginning of YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. I thought I recognized the name. But I don't think I've ever watched it. You know, I do follow Felicia Day and I've heard someone refer to it, but I've never watched an episode.
Well, I saw it early on in my career and I thought, wow, you know, it was very cheap, but what it had was really good characters and really good chemistry. And I think that's something that really influenced myself and my wife, Gina.
I like the characters. Like I said, cousin Andy. I just think he needs to move on.
You need to calm down. I think there needs to be a strictly cousin Andy trilogy in his own now because
he can visit. He'll be in the afterlife. You know, just like the other characters. It's
cousin Andy.
That one scene when he comes walking in and his getup and all that stuff, I was like, that's what I was
You know what got me with that is he did the hair flip with that was great. I was just like, all right, yeah, this is awesome. He's like totally just playing with this character, and
he's such a scammer.
Yeah,
but talking about all the characters, each one has, you know, so much. Like they're so different from each other, and it's one of those things where you can, you know, pick your face. Sometimes you watch a movie and, you know, some people blend together, or, you know, you don't get as much as you don't care as much of as you know for one person as the other, but all the characters in this, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, like every single one has a quirk or something.
Right. I
enjoy it.
I want to know more about all of the characters. Mm. Like even the dude from the first one, I want to know more about that guy. Like
we had a live stream. I have already mentioned it, you know, Film Threat, Dawn. Actually, the lady who plays Aura in this movie, the B movie actress, her name is Jenny Lorenzo, and she's actually a big YouTuber, and she's done, you know, voicing for Cartoon Network and many things. Her husband was the guy from that first movie, Darth.
Oh, really?
David Gallegos, and he jumped on the last live stream we did, and I was like, "Do you want to be in the next one?" He's like, "Sure," you know. And so I this is a group that likes working together anyway, and yeah.
It looks like it. I mean, it feels like it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Gina's saying we need a Mandeo series and video game.
Ooh. Heck yeah.
That would be interesting.
Well,
I'm kind of tossed. I want to ask Scott a question about the movie, but I don't want to give what the movie is about away.
You know what? Go for it.
Do it up.
You got his
approval.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, that's I want to know more. I mean, When you sat down and wrote this, the whole thing about the cult that's in this movie, you know, I know it's all written down and it's from your head, but I'm just wondering, at one point there's a point in the movie where the actress and the manager are yakking away with one another about what's going on, and I got the feeling at that time that the cult is all a scam.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
It just felt like, oh, this is just a scam to get the B people out of the way so that the A people can take over the roles that, you know.
I really like that because I had talked about that too early on when I was writing it with Gina. And I was like, I feel like they're just going to get people to kill people they want and then never contact them again. You know, it's one of those things that you could find on the dark web and get pulled into it and then you never hear from them again. I think you're onto something here for sure.
Just real quick, Sergio was asking if you're into like real ghosts. Like, are you into paranormal stuff at all? Or is it something that you're just like, meh, I'm just joking.
I love real ghosts, but I don't see too many of them. One thing I will say is that at the house I'm living at right now, I see a lot of like things out of the corner of my eye, and I'll look, I can't see what it was, but I get a lot of peripheral movements. I don't know if it's ghosts or I'm just losing my mind.
So. Oh, whatever. I mean, if you're comfortable with it, then that's cool. For years, my wife and I would plan our vacations around haunted locations, and that's where we would go on vacation. So I'm all about it too. So it's you know, I'm good with it. But anyway, sorry, Tony, you look like you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, doing the first one into the, because I think with the second one, it had, you know, that much more of a plot to it and like bringing in new characters and stuff. Did you find it easier, like transitioning? Because like Kevin said, it kind of flowed right into each other sometimes.
If you told me that you only took a couple months off in between, I would have been like, yeah, I can see that. Like, it really seemed like it was almost done around the same. Like, it you carried the feel over, even though I'm assuming it had a bigger budget. It carried the feel over from the first one completely. Even with stuff that like literally it was like almost like flashbacks from the first one, it totally fit. It, like, you know, I watched some other, like even like British TV shows, you know, where they'll flash back to something and it's just like, wow, obviously their budgets increased a huge amount because before it was horrible and now it looks really good. And it's just like, oof. But it really, like, you know, it didn't look, like I said, the first one didn't look bad anyways, but it just really flows well.
Thank you very much. Because I was really wanting to, I liked the first one too because I made it. And I liked it, but one note I made to myself was like, I really want this to flow better. I want to, as a director, as an editor, as a writer, I want it to flow much faster, never feel like it stops ever. So I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah, it was shot 2 years. Wow, it's crazy. It was shot 2 years after the first one, and I wrote 7 drafts of this movie. It's not a masterpiece by any margin, but in the last 2 months after we did the Kickstarter and it was successful, I rewrote it twice because I had that perspective at that point. And I rewrote it, and I told my DP, he actually wanted to use different lenses, make it sexier looking. And I was like, you know what, man, I'm very tempted to do that too, but let's just make this another episode. Okay. Let's make this another episode of a show. I mean, I look at this like a kind of a show, you know. Episode lengths now are like an hour long, and
sometimes.
And I just thought, let's not get too fancy. I'd love that too, to show off. But it was very much about like, if you watch the first one, you should watch this and be like, yeah, you know, you get some answers to the last one. Basically, what I'm saying is thank you for noticing that it kind of flows together. It was conscious. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I mean, I agree though. Like, it's, I think if you stepped it up like lens wise and made it look different, I mean, I may not have dug it as much. Like,
yeah,
it's got charm to it. You know, yeah. It doesn't look horrible by any means. And it also doesn't look like a polished HBO show.
Right.
But it's appropriate for the story.
Like, it makes it
feel like legit. You could easily cut this. You could have spread out the whole first movie into different segments and made like a series, like a season of it easily.
Yeah.
Which, you know, now who knows, maybe you will, but at the same time too, the story's already out there. So maybe you won't, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm very tempted, you know, that I think a lot of indie people would just say, yeah, I'm going to make a show. I'm making a TV show, you know? And for me, it's like, well, it's not really a TV show. It's indie. It's different. You know, I can't say it's a TV show, but my version of a TV show is basically just making 20-minute follow-ups to these two movies. And yeah, to me, that is a TV show at whatever pace I can make it with the team. I think a problem in the indie sphere is everyone's trying to be like Hollywood, and Hollywood's
Right. But right now too, like with everything that's going on with the whole pandemic, I mean, it seems like we've said it a bunch, but a majority of the stuff that, you know, with the exception of some bigger budget things that were already done that are just being released slowly, right, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing is, you know, a lot of people are watching a lot more independent stuff. So that may be like a thing. Like right now it's on Prime. So, you know, sometimes Amazon will do an original and they'll take something under its wing, and, you know, who knows, maybe something like that would happen. But is it anywhere else? Like, is it on physical media as well, or is it just streaming right now?
Physical media, we're still figuring out how we want to do it. It is on Amazon Prime right now. It's on Google Play. It's on YouTube to rent. Okay. After this, what you can expect to see is AVOD advertising. You know, basically, it's going to go to places like Tubi. I don't know if you guys have heard that.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
And it's from what I understand, from what we've heard, is that the payout from Tubi is pretty good compared to, like, for independent filmmakers, they make more off Tubi than they do off anything else.
Yeah, it's really growing in that regard, which is exciting for us. But besides that, IMDb TV, I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's really growing, and I think they're going to change the name eventually, but it's also lucrative for filmmakers. So we kind of skip the transactional VOD because people, you know, they see Mandeo, they might not know what it is. In fact, a lot of people don't know what it is. I want them to be able to, if they have a subscription, watch it for free. It was very important. We skipped. It was my decision to skip the transactional VOD. I knew people, you know, they have enough time deciding to watch like movies that are done by Hollywood. I don't want to give them that stopping. Like, I don't want to pay for this. Well, I get that. So we skipped that. And now we're going to go to AVOD after this.
Yeah, but with things like Tubi and I'm assuming IMDb TV, I have that. I have that on my Roku.
Yeah,
and it's like same deal. Like there's ads that play, which is fine.
Yeah,
it's completely fine. You know, like if it's helping out the independent filmmakers, I understand people not wanting to go out and spend $15 on a movie they never heard of.
Yeah,
if that is the price, but at the same time too, you want to be able to support the creators so they can go out and make more. So we still have the trailer for Mandeo Returns. So I'm going to play that. And then when we come back, we can talk a bit about some choices that were made as far as like production and everything like that. But
Let's do it.
Here we go. Mandeo Returns.
something you should know.
They're trying to reach you. Don't let them in, Jay.
Don't let them in!
You okay, Uncle Jay?
Yeah, that weird dream.
Autopsy reports confirm that Mars Cop actress Ara Garcia died of an overdose. Coming up next, strippers against global warming.
I have a very important client coming over. Ara Garcia's manager.
Welcome to the house, Tarrant.
What's with your outfit? You look like a homeless bellhop.
Contacting the dead's been my biggest hit. Well, right after Pat Telepathy.
What is it?
It's called a spirit box.
Have you had any luck with it?
Not yet. Today might be the day.
Is someone here?
Can you hear me?
No.
Oh my god, this works.
Are you human?
Yes.
Oh, you sound like a lady. Are you single? Hello?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, you're that actress.
Listen, I need your help. Have you ever heard of the population?
We know where you are, and we will be watching.
It's this cult where they initiate new members by making them do rituals and stuff.
Jay, you want to know what your purpose is?
This is it.
We can stop it.
So is it true where you went back in time and prevented someone from dying?
As long as both bodies are sleeping, you should be able to just kind of merge with them.
Yucky.
I told you not to astro project anymore.
Can you twist me?
Yeah. I possess Jackson.
Can't believe you're inside me, Cousin Andy.
Me neither.
How could you not like Cousin Andy? I don't understand.
Like I said, he's just evil, dude. He needs to be.
Hey, you know what? It needs, you know, you need something, right?
Hey, well, he needs to grow, right? He needs to grow from evil to understandable, at least.
Right, but maybe still have, like, you know, he can be evil when he needs to be.
Yeah.
Something like that. My biggest question is, what's popcorn soup, and how come there was this reference? I want to know what it is.
Well, you know,
burns down houses, man.
Yeah, it is volatile. I'll tell you that. I actually learned something from the special features of Top Gun. They had all these terms that were used by fighter pilots, and the script writers made a decision not to explain it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's the world. Just get on it. You know, that has very little to do with this, but I didn't want to explain popcorn soup because I just wanted to be synonymous with Jackson. It just seems like something he would do. Popcorn soup is just water, salt, pepper, popcorn, and way too much oil, which probably started the fire in our
neck. Kind of sounds like old school. The one show I used to watch was Salute Your Shorts, and they had the thing called the Awful Waffle, and no one knows what the hell it is, but they're like, oh, it's about to happen, and you never found out what it was. One of those like questions of the world that are like, what is it?
So. Salute Your Shorts. Oh my gosh, dude. Yes.
It's what Hitchcock would refer to as a MacGuffin.
I think he'd be proud, you know, of this MacGuffin. You know,
I'm just saying, if there was maybe some merch, maybe a popcorn soup t-shirt out there.
Dude. It's actually being made, yeah.
Right now.
So that means Kevin will have a popcorn soup
I'm just saying. Soon. I'm just saying. Once it's done, let me know where I can go to get some merch, and I would rock
it. It's coming. It's coming.
All right, cool.
Gina's on top of it right now.
Yeah. She's doing it right now. She's drawing it.
So were you guys married with the first one as well, or did that all happen in between?
We were engaged on the first one. And dating heavily during Schlepp, our first movie. So by this one, yes, we were married. We were married in 2018 in September. That's so awesome. Yeah, you know, I can't make these movies without her. I mean,
well
you can, but it wouldn't be any fun.
Yeah, they wouldn't be as good because her character is great.
Exactly. Yeah, like, that's the thing. Two questions. First one is, where does the name Fur come from?
Okay. Oh, you want me to answer it now?
Yeah.
Fernanda. I just figured her name was, it was just a kind of cool little thing. Her name is actually Fernanda. And I was like, fur. Actually, my uncle Rick used to call his daughter, my cousin Jennifer, hey, fur. I don't know why. I don't know why. And it kind of stuck with me. I'm like, yeah, that's
it's pretty cool. I wish I had a cool nickname like that.
The second question is, when you wrote the first one, did you have any idea that where, if you did a sequel, where you wanted to take it? And is this even close to it?
I don't think this was close to it. No, I had a certain idea, and that just comes from talking to people on set for fun. But when it actually came time to do it, it changed a lot. Like I said, I did 7 drafts of a different thing. It was completely different.
I don't know what this yes is and refers to, but Gina just yes with 3 exclamation points.
Popcorn soup yes. T-shirt.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. I didn't know where the second one was going to go, but it kind of was informed after a couple years of kind of watching it with audiences, the first movie. And, I love conspiracies about Hollywood. I think that's my favorite thing about this is that, the population, the cults in Hollywood, how far actors will go to progress their career actually is something I'm very happy that we put in this.
Nice. And then one thing that from the first movie, I don't remember if it didn't carry over, but in the first one, you were shocking her all the time.
Yeah.
Did that carry over into the second one? I don't remember.
I didn't feel it needed to. There were some things I didn't take over, like the sleep mix I used a little in this movie. It's kind of debilitating. But if you notice, I kind of changed it to a binaural beat on the phone.
Yep.
So that we could go under a little faster, a little bit Inception-y.
Yeah.
No, I didn't feel the need for the shocks to go forward for some reason. I don't know. It wasn't.
I enjoyed it because I'm actually, in my household, I'm the one who shocks everyone. And even to the point where if I'm sitting on the couch and I get up to get a drink and I touch the refrigerator, that the TV will glitch when I touch the TV. Yeah.
Whoa. When I was
one of my past jobs, I'd get up and I would hit the top of a cubicle and it actually blew out someone's monitor once.
You're kidding, of course.
I know, I'm dead serious. But it was just, it's a matter of, for some reason, static electricity loves me for whatever reason. I don't know why. But
dude, you might be a superhero. That's actually an interesting thing.
Hey. I'm definitely not a superhero.
So,
yeah.
So, Scott, you're saying you like conspiracy theories about old Hollywood, right?
I do.
Then this is the book to get, man.
Ooh!
The Dark History of Hollywood. This has everything, man. I mean, we're talking about how the mafia is tied in and who killed, why Fatty Arbuckle, was thrown out of Hollywood, and stuff. Just every story is in here.
Ooh, that looks great. Would you mind me asking, who's the author of that?
Kieran Conley.
Okay. Yeah, that's right up my alley right there. Yes. Yes.
So for those listening to the audio podcast, there's a book.
Yeah, I'm just holding a book up that says Dark History of Hollywood by Kieran Conley. This was given to me by a former, by Robin.
Yeah, she used to come on the show from time
Karate Popcorn.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. So what do you have in the works? You said that, you're hoping to do more. Do you have any scripts in the works? And one thing too, I was actually thinking about asking a little while ago, how much of this is free form for the actors? Do you stick straight to the script, or is it something where they can kind of flow off of what you provide?
The script is very, it's a blueprint. I always expect it's going to change drastically, but what actually happens is we do a rehearsal, and in the rehearsal, the actors usually have something to add to it. What I've noticed is it usually just enhances what's there in the script. So the script stays relatively close to it. Just imagine adding some good actor improv over that from the rehearsals. On set, we don't really improv as much because it's insane. We're doing 13, 14 scenes a day. And I learned from my first movie to get all that out in the rehearsal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of hash out where you want it to go and everything. And one of the things I wanted to bring up as well, I keep just jumping around and I apologize, but some of the other actors in the sequel, the guy who played, was it Tom or Thomas or the manager?
Yeah.
Ted. Yeah. I looked him up on IMDb because I always go through and see what other people have been. That dude's been around. He's been in everything. He was on Married with Children. He's been a bunch of stuff. That's pretty awesome. How is that? In those situations, is he someone that you've worked with in the past, or how did you get him involved?
he's someone I met, you know, back in my Disney days. I was on a show called Kickin' It, and he was the showrunner of that. That's how I got to know him. So, he's a really funny guy, and he's a ball buster too. You know, on set, he's just ridiculous. He gets like, I just want to kick him off the set half the time, but he's really funny. And this is our second movie together. He was in my first movie, Schlep. He played my boss, and he's a ball buster in that. He is really perfect for this role. This evil, you talk about evil, Wolfie, this guy.
No, he does say one of my favorite lines in the movie, though.
Which one?
Where Jackson answers the door, and he's like, he goes, can I take your jacket? And he's like, does it look like I'm wearing a jacket? Do you want one? You know, it's like, this is so Marx Brothers.
Yeah. Exactly. And I love the Marx Brothers, actually. Yeah. You know, he's someone who I didn't get to rehearse more than one time with. And he threw in some good lines as well. Like, you look like a homeless bellhop.
Yeah.
And I thought he's one of those guys I like really crack up when I'm watching him do stuff.
That's part of the reason why I asked if there was like some improv there, because it seemed very, very natural coming from him. Like, it seemed like it was kind of off the, and then at the same time too, it's like, all right, if that is natural, how are the other actors not just cracking up? Cause I would lose it. But I don't know, but that's why they're actors and I'm not.
And was it intentional to name him after a baseball player?
No, you know, he actually is a family. There was a family friend who had an evil boss, and I don't want to say who, but his name was Ted.
Ted Williams believed in reincarnation and all that stuff.
Ooh, nice.
So I thought it was a tie-in. Player, right?
Ooh, yeah. I like that. I'll just take that. Yeah, it was a tie-in. Ted Williams, you know.
he supposedly has his body frozen.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think his head is frozen somewhere. Like, just his head, I think, is frozen.
Yeah, something like that.
But that's a movie right there.
Oh, yeah. Totally is.
Yeah.
He was a, I was thinking kind of the same too, but then I just forgot because I was too into the movie. But yeah. So we need a physical release, and we need popcorn, soup, t-shirts. And I'm just filling out a virtual, order.
Just remember, dude, Gina's on all of this. I mean, she's busy.
When she said yes, with three exclamation marks.
Then she responded, no, it's to the popcorn, soup, t-shirt. So it is definitely to that.
I'd like to respond to Sergio, who for some reason said it's 9:41. Are we boring you, Sergio? I mean,
no, he makes sure that we stay on time.
No, I'm kidding. I'm
curious. This guy right here doesn't shut up. I'm pointing to myself for the audio listeners. So, sometimes we may go over, but I apologize.
You're my boy, Sergio. You know I'm kidding with you.
Yes. Sergio.
We can all ramble on, Kev. So, I mean.
Yes.
He's like, no.
You two can ramble on.
Hey, calm down, Tony. If I let you go, you would ramble on too.
It would be one question, but it would be 20 minutes long.
Hey, listen, my questions come with substance. And when I just repeat myself 500 times the same way, that's how much substance there is.
So, you know, you hinted around about, doing like some shorter episodes, like maybe 20-minute follow-ups or whatever, like just short little cases, I guess. What's the plan? Like, is that something that's you see happening sooner than later, or you have to wait till the pandemic's done?
Yeah, well, the pandemic thing is something I don't know. I don't know when we're going to get behind a camera or not. In fact, there's a fan of ours. His name is Randy Taylor. His handle is Nikori Gaming. He made two videos basically giving us a sample of what an 8-bit retro NES video game of Mandeo Returns would be. And I was so blown away and so excited by it. And he's been tinkering around for fun. Gina and I have been talking about doing an 8-bit retro Mandeo game for fun. That's on our list, actually, kind of at the front of our list. As you mentioned, the short episodic nature of where we're going with Mandeo. Yeah, make a few of those, 20 to 30 minute long things, go on the festival route and release on to Amazon, Tubi, IMDb TV. That's where we're going now. Probably no more feature films unless there's huge demand for it. It's just more cost effective to do.
Yeah. It would be cool to like have like an episode even where the 8-bit comes into play, where
Yeah, it'd be great.
You know, where like you're projecting into like an old Nintendo or an 8-bit system or something, whatever. And like, I don't know. I think that would be cool. Because I'm
like to reach someone and you go back old, you're playing a game and it's like, oh, come back and say.
That's how you communicate is through the game. You just.
Yeah. Where evil cousin Andy becomes even more evil.
Yeah. He's the end boss, right?
He's the end boss. Yeah.
He's the end boss.
You have to flip his. I don't know.
Anyway. But to tell you the truth, talking about interest, I'm, you know, as the movie tailed at the end, I'm like, okay, I want to know more about this whole, you know, other side, the cult and everything. And then I'm like, okay, I can't wait for the third one. So if you needed someone to, you know, push for a third feature film.
Oh, dude, did you guys look at the Kickstarter supporters he had at the end of this? There were a ton. I sat through like all of them. I paused it and read all the names, and then paused it and read all the names just to see. It's like six pages. I mean, or six frames long, I guess, is the way you'd put it.
That's right. Yeah. There was a lot. There was a lot. Yeah. You know? In fact, one of the best parts of this movie, you know, yeah, I enjoyed the movie, but the making of it and the support we got to make it is something I'll always remember. I'll remember the support we got for this movie more than the movie itself, really. And yeah, you're right. It's like six pages of like donors at the end. And I'm thankful to every single one of them for sure.
But Kevin mentioned it many a times, how he enjoys seeing, you know, progression. So right. If they like your first one, they definitely want to, you know, support the second one. So if you make a third one, I'm sure you get
the thing is that
eight pages next time.
Yeah, but right. he knows what he's doing, because the first one looks really, really good and it flows really well, to the point where the second one, you know, feels like it was all
part of the one time thing.
Right. So I'm actually curious to go back and check out some of your other stuff, like your earlier stuff. So what was the Schlepp. First one that was it called? Schlepp.
Yeah, S-C-H-L-E-P. It's kind of a tricky spelling. It means an arduous journey.
Okay.
Something like that. It was fun. It's way more down to earth. No supernatural. It's very comedy and a coming of age, whatever the hell that means.
Is that available anywhere?
It's on Amazon right now.
Okay. All right. It'll be added to my queue.
Yeah. So, take a look. I think you might like it.
I'll definitely check it out. I like everything. Like if I can follow someone from like a first time filmmaker up to like a huge like achievement or whatever, I feel like a connection to it, you know, like I just like to see like, oh, wow, they learned this from that or whatever, you know, I just think it's really cool. I just like it.
You'll see a progression. I think I see one, but, you know, I'm a little close to the situation.
So two things. Gina is saying that Schlepp is Yiddish for an awkward journey.
Yes. Thank you. Awkward
journey. Oy vey. And then Sergio wants to know if we like Ghost Hunters.
I do.
And if you actually, if you go back, Sergio, go back a couple of years. I don't even know how many years, but Jay from Ghost Hunters was actually on the show once.
Yep.
We had him on because he's kind of local, and he was involved with the guys from Scarecon, and he came on with that. And I don't remember, to be honest with you. But and then even because they're kind of local, one time I was at a jack-o'-lantern thing and there was this guy walking around in his pajama pants. And my wife's like, who's that guy in his pajama pants? I'm like, that's Steve from Ghost Hunters. And I'm like, hey, Steve. He's like, hey, man, what's up? And then that was it. And I felt like a rock star because he knew who I was. But that's about it. But yeah, Ghost Hunters.
Well, for Ghost Hunting, I really like this YouTube channel called Nuke's Top 5.
Some of that. Like I go through like phases of where I'll watch like creepiest place on earth kind of videos. And sometimes I'm like, that's terrifying, but I would totally spend the night there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm down.
Same. Yeah. That's the kind of feeling. Isn't it weird? There's like this in the horror genre. It's like, I'm terrified. I want to go there, basically.
Yeah.
You always see those memes on like Facebook or whatever. They're like, you have a choice. Would you spend $4 million? Would you spend a night in, you know, the psycho house or a cemetery? I'm like, dude, I grew up hanging out in cemeteries, man, when I was a kid.
I paid to stay in the in death row of the St. Augustine prison a few years back. You know, it wasn't much. It was like $50. I would say.
Nice.
Yeah. It was fun. It's a good time.
It's relaxing.
You know? Yeah, totally. It's just like you look out the little slit of a window and there's the gallows where they killed all the people. And I'm like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah, where I grew up, Jimi Hendrix was buried.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. In your house? Sorry.
In the wall?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, how did you get that smell? Late at night, we would just go down and hang out with Jimmy, man. You know, if there was nothing going on.
Did you ever hear
guitar solos?
Yeah.
No.
But you go there and there's guitar picks and people that bury like Monterey Pop tapes and all that stuff. You'll see someone show up with like a little trowel and they'll just bury a tape and then they'll
leave. The only reason you know that is because you would steal all of it and bring it home. So you have a bucket of guitar picks and tapes you stole from a grave.
It was always believed that Jimmy was such a nice person that if someone did take a pick, you know, he'd be like, yeah, go ahead, you know, that kind of thing. So
however you want to justify it, Wolfie, I understand.
I didn't need to steal guitar.
You're a thief. You're calling this character in this movie evil. You're stealing from graves. Whatever, grave robber. So anyway, you mentioned that you did the Disney thing when you were younger as well. So where else, like if someone needed to take a look at your work, like where would you send them? Would it be to the Mendeo stuff, or would it be like, where would you be like, if you want to check out my best stuff, here's where you go.
You know, for someone who's actually that interested, I would say go to my IMDb and check out my Mendeo movies, Schlep. You know, Mendeo movies and Schlep are on Amazon. I would also say go check out a piece of crap movie called Disposable that I did in 2007. But the filmmaker who I do still like, he insists on saying it was done in 2015. I'm like, dude, it was in 2007. Please. And it was so bad, you know. It was so bad.
Did you know it was bad while you were doing it? Or was it something where you're like, oh, crap?
No, I was fully delusional at the time. I thought it was going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Wolfie wants to know what it was about.
Oh, I don't.
It's that good he doesn't remember.
There's an orphan, and she's trying to figure out her way through orphanhood. And I'm a guy who's a killer and an idiot and a bad actor. So go watch that. I think it's worth it. It's worth it because you won't feel the pain when you watch it. I will.
Good to know. I will. I'll do that, and I'll be like.
To answer your question, you know, like what's next? I'm sorry to interrupt. I am working on some things that are non-Mandeo. The Mandeo thing comes from people really seeming to enjoy it. I want to give them more of it. You know, we spent all this time building social media and sort of this fan base that's growing. I want to give more of that. But, you know, the other side of me wants to make other things. So I am writing some brand new material that I hope to do. It will be short form. One thing after this pandemic I found out was that short form is kind of where I'm going after this for a while. I'd love to return to feature films. I love it. It's just so expensive. I'm working on some things, nothing concrete yet, but I can't wait to share some new stuff.
Now that's like writing, directing and stuff like that. But as far as like acting, are you still putting yourself out there to do other projects?
Well, anyone who's watching this, I'd love to be in your project. I still love acting. In fact, a lot of this came from that, you know, wanting to be an actor and do more stuff. I love working with a director and trying to give them what they're looking for to serve the script. I don't have an agent, you know, and that's on purpose. I had an agent for many years in California, and right now I'm just focusing on making my own stuff. But mm-hmm. I want to act in more other filmmakers' things. Yeah.
So you're not in California now. Is there like how long did you spend time in? Like, 'cause I like, especially now with everything that's going on, there's a whole like mass exodus of people from California. They're just going to other places now because they can work.
Yeah.
In some areas, like I know, like stand-up comics and stuff, they're all moving to Texas because they're open in Texas. So
and
it's like
Hill and other places. Yeah. For us, it was, you know, financial and just. It was financial, really. I, you know, the housing market in Arizona is amazing. And it's only 7 hours drive to California. So all our people, all our friends are there, you know, it's not a far, you know, it just seems the circumstances worked out for us to be in Tucson and we love it. We love it. Yeah.
That's good. And now, like the first film, was that filmed in like your actual apartment or was that something where like you had to find a place?
No, it was two of our producers, Chessa and Ian. They had an apartment and we shot there for Jay's apartment. And then we rented a house in Burbank that, you know, for about 4 days. It's kind of similar this time. The girl who played Maeve, the vampire from the first one, she let her apartment for Jay's, for Cousin Andy's apartment for this one. For free. We paid another location in Burbank for Aura's house. It kind of goes that way. You know, if we didn't have people stepping in with free locations, this would be so freaking impossible.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first thing I would think, like, if making a movie, if I ever thought about it, I'm like, I just got to find the cheapest or freest places I can.
Well, that was like, we had the one guy for The Night They Saved Siegfried's Brain. A movie that was made in the 80s that finally came out, and he was saying how literally everything that they made it was because they got it for free. Yeah. It was like they offered this, you know, the all the help that they had was from, and it was all because it was like a small town, you know, kids from a small town, and the town opened up for them and all that stuff.
But these are like, long gone though. But you know, that was the 80s. Now everyone's making movies, so it's tough.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, but then also you look at people like Max Cherky, where he would get like access to like a mansion in Cuba, and he would make like as many movies as he could in X amount of time. So that way he's like, all right, I have this place for this long. I'm making this many movies. Here we go. You know, and it works out as long as you do it from different angles, I guess. I don't know. but yeah, so I don't know. So is there anything else that you guys wanted to add before we start wrapping things up? Tony, Wolfie?
No, I was just saying that, like you were saying, if there was going to be, you know, anyone that wants to see like a continuation,
and I definitely,
you were saying, you were saying how much backing you have for the Mandeo thing, and I think a third feature would be definitely up my alley. I'd definitely check.
Yeah, either a third feature, or I'm totally down for the episodic thing. To be honest with you, I'm down. Like, and I legit want to know more backstory on all the characters. Like, I want to know more about Fur. I want to know like why she does what she does. Like, why is she the way she is, kind of deal. I want to know more about her. I want to know more about everyone. I want the cousin that you hate so much, Wolfie. I want to know more about him.
You know what? That's a big compliment. Thank you. I want to know more about them too. And we're just doing it the best way we could. Yeah. Tony, I would love to do a feature film, and maybe it will happen. I do think we could get the support, and it'll probably be a series, a short one, but I think it'll be good. Yeah. I think people want to see it, and we want to help give them good content.
Yes. I could actually see it working better as like 20 minute episodes.
Yeah. I think it's so.
Kind of like the 1940s serials, you know, you'd go to the theater and you'd watch something, and something would happen. You get to the very end, which is where cliffhangers came from, you know. Yes. The guy would go off the cliff or something like that. And then you have to show up next week to see whether or not he lived.
Yeah. You know? The Star Wars and Indiana Jones, those were based.
They were based on that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
totally doable, especially like this last one, because it's, you're jumping around so much. Well, you know, easily could have been done as a series.
Yeah, he's got so much to work with. If he does a third one, like I'm looking at, like, in my head, you know, 20 minutes a piece. If you do like six episodes, that's 2 hours right there. Then that's your third feature film.
Yeah,
you know, all wrapped up. But I'm looking at like what Kevin said. You know, you want to know more about evil cousin Andy. You want to know more about Jackson. You got like a whole episode you could do just on the cult alone, on the backstory of that.
I want to know more about like the dad, like when he was running the cereal company, like what happened, like why was he no longer running it? Like,
I had in the last draft that I drew out, actually, it was like almost all about that.
And really?
Evil partner that he had that kind of in fact, my the actor Sean Ling, evil cousin Andy, he was like, dude, we gotta explore that. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I want to know more about it. Like,
Well, you know, here's how we felt. We see our fan base and they love watching it. They really gather around it. And then we go away for 2 years. And I was talking to Gina. Hi, Gina. I was like, yeah, you know, this, I hate going away for 2 years and losing them. You know, they're so, the real fans really enjoy it. And I hate going away for 2 years. It's stupid. So my idea is to give them shorter stuff, so that they can have more of it and not wait so long. That's really where this is coming from.
That's understandable.
Hopefully that'll be the case. So, yeah. So we're just about done. So Scott, where would people need to go to follow what's going on with everything you're doing or, you know, whatever, like where can they find out more information about what you're working on?
We're very active on Twitter. You can follow at Mandeo Movie on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me at Scotty Dunn It on Twitter. On Instagram, I'm Scotty Dunn Did It. And just look me up on Facebook. Find my face. I have like a Comic-Con thing behind me. Yeah, follow along there. You can look me up. Scott Dunn Filmmaker on YouTube. I put anything new I have there, I will probably put on YouTube. So follow me there.
All right, Tony.
You can find me at Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, where I do movie reviews or anything movie related, unboxings. I just did one yesterday. Tony Has Nine Fingers on Twitter, Tony's Movies on Instagram, where I show off the movies behind me. And of course, here every Tuesday on the Wicked Horror Show. Don't forget about the Wicked Horror Show merch. I was about to put it on upside down, but the Wicked Horror Show merch. And it's not even on correctly.
It's like an eye cover for when you go to sleep.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It mask itself as two things. So.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that, Wolfie.
You can follow me on YouTube, the 13th Wolfman, Twitter at the 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, the Prowl. Doing the Wicked Horror Views with Kev, doing this every other week, the Wicked Horror Show. So, yeah, and I just put some new stuff up on YouTube, so check that out. Kev, what about yourself?
Yeah, you can find me, A Knuckle, on Instagram. Also, besides doing the reviews with Wolfie and doing this show, you can also find me over on Black and White Fright and Secret Underground Hideout, all of which are on the Dorkening Podcast Network. So go to thedorkening.com for more info on that. And thank you very much, everyone, for being part of the show tonight. And Sergio, you're the man. Gina, you're also the man. I'm sorry if that's offensive, but you're great. And you should have just poked your head in. I think you're in the same building, right?
Hi, Gina.